7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz.
Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back with another episode, and it is going to be the Week 7 recap, and we are kicking off with our Thursday night games. And as always, before we get to those, we are with none other than Tim and Tom. Guys, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. A little disappointed that the three of us are back together. Last week was kind of nice without Tim.
Back in the studio, bitches!
Yeah, see, he's back, guys.
Take that, man. It's the man trying to keep me down, keep me out of studio.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of things went a lot smoother, I guess would be the term. More cohesive. Huh. Less issues, dragging down wasn't there.
My back hasn't been hurting the last couple of weeks, but
that's really interesting, guys.
Might hurt next week.
It might. You know, I don't feel like that's appropriate. We just discussed how things are slowly starting to break up. Tom, you're staying on the righteous path. Josh, you're turning into a mid-70s housewife, and I'm turning into a drug addict. So it's fine.
Well,
it's a good combo.
With that being said, again, do yourselves a favor. Check out our buddies on CleatGeeks.com and DraftingSleepers.com.
They still sponsor us?
CleatGeeks does, and Drafting Sleepers do too.
Crazy sons of bitches.
So do yourselves a favor. Jump on their websites. Check out their articles and everything like that. And then also still we have the raffle jersey going for the Le'Veon Bell jersey, autographed jersey. So send your fantasy.
Eventually.
Send your fantasy questions in, and we'll answer them, and then we'll go ahead and raffle that off.
And CleatGeeks is sponsoring the To Catch a Predator Halloween Costume Contest. Whoever dresses up, takes a picture, and sends in their best sexual predator-looking costume wins $25.
Come on, man. I like how you take our pre-show talk and bring it into the show.
You know, just gotta come full circle, baby.
All right. So let's kick off with the Thursday night game. And, guys, another good Thursday night game. And it's been pretty consistent, which is nice. So the Kansas City Chiefs go to the Raiders. And the Raiders win this game 31-30. But it was a very close, very good game. I thought it was way out of hand early. And then the Raiders came storming back later on and made the game super exciting at the end. And it seemed like the last 2 minutes was going to go on for a half hour, at least. What were your guys' thoughts on that game?
My main takeaway is the Raiders absolutely saved their season. They needed this game, and they came out and played. You know, we saw that Amari Cooper finally come back. They were using him smart. They were lining up in the slot. He had a good matchup in the slot, and that's where he did majority of his work and damage to the Chiefs, and he was a big reason that they scored those early 14 points. The end of the game, like you said, absolutely crazy. Just penalty after penalty after penalty, and even the final touchdown, it was probably a penalty on Michael Crabtree, but I was glad it was over. I'm glad they won, and it's making the AFC West competitive still.
Yeah, so that's what I wanted to ask you. So the second touchdown from Amari Cooper, was that a pass interference on him?
That was the first one you're talking
about.
Or was
it the first one? I'm sorry. Was that a pass interference, you guys think?
I think it was incidental contact, so.
Tim?
Depends who you're a fan of, honestly. I mean, to me, yes. Yes, it was pass interference.
The first Michael Crabtree touchdown in the end zone close to the end of the game that was called pass interference. Was that pass interference?
I think so.
Yes.
It looked like he pushed, extended his arms, and just knocked him over.
The holding call on Cordarrelle Patterson, was that holding on the defense?
Questionable.
Yeah, no. I would say no.
They probably thought, you know what, we've already gone this far. We might as well just keep going, right? And then the Crabtree second one, the second touchdown
that
you mentioned did
well.
Score. You think it was a penalty?
Yep.
Yeah, I think so. But, Josh, I have other things that I want to talk about. You guys mentioned saving the Raiders' season. 100% it did. It brings them within two games, but now they have a partial, you know, the tie break at this time.
Yep.
Marshawn Lynch paying dividends. What happened? People might say it's bad. He got suspended for one game. This whole thing is just weird, right? It happened, a dirty hit on Carr, right? Dirty as they come. Marshawn Lynch runs from off the field and runs onto the field. Then the refs are pulling him away, gets thrown out of the game, and he's getting a game suspension. I think it was a bit much, in all honesty. Did you guys see that the Chiefs cornerback Marcus Peters spoke on his behalf?
He came out to save Marcus Peters.
Yeah, they're like cousins.
But the whole thing is just it was just weird. The way the whole thing broke down was weird to me.
Well, to make it even weirder, here we go. So pretty much they're pretty much like cousins. I don't know if they're actually cousins.
I don't even think they are. I think they just both grew up in Oakland.
They grew up in the same area. And they look at Peters looks at Marshawn Lynch as a mentor, blah blah blah. And when Marshawn Lynch got kicked out of the game, he went into the stands to watch the game. Yep. He had his face mask on,
which was awesome.
And then after that, him and Marcus Peters rode the train home together. And there's a video of it of Marshawn Lynch starting a chant of "fuck your team," yelling at Marcus Peters and flicking him off on the train, and Marcus Peters laughing. So they're very cool with each other. But that is the reason why Marshawn Lynch went out there. I don't even think it had to do with Carr. I think it had to do solely with Marcus Peters, and that was it.
I mean, the whole thing was just weird. I mean,
look at all the comments. Look at all the comments coming out from all the NFL stars. You have Sherman, a whole handful of people that weren't even involved with this game, saying they're cousins, man. That's what he was going out there for.
Yep.
So a lot of these NFL stars or NFL players in general are very upset with the outcome.
Lynch, brought to the attention to say that Aaron Donald and even Taylor Lewin last year had very similar incidences and never got suspended. So I think Lynch might be the guy in the NFL to help make things change. It seems like all NFL players like and respect him. Even if they're, like, I don't know what it is about him. It seems like everyone loves him. So the suspension was upheld anyway. So I guess too bad. But I feel like that was the kind of the kick in the pants for the Raiders. That seemed needed, in all honesty. The other thing I wanted to bring up, you already mentioned Amari and Carr, was Kareem Hunt. Did you know Kareem Hunt has already broken 37 tackles on only 124 carries? That's already one more tackle than Zeke broke all of last year on 322 carries. Pretty crazy.
It's crazy.
It's not, you know, that's not a knock on Zeke. That's just with how absurd Kareem Hunt has been through these first 7 weeks of the season.
And
Absolutely ridiculous.
He's also had another game now, over 100 total yards.
Absolutely absurd. I mean, we have been waiting for that other foot to drop on Kareem Hunt, and it doesn't seem like it's going to happen.
Yeah, with that being said, Kareem Hunt had 87 yards, 18 carries, 30 yards rushing, so another very good game on his part. Tyreek Hill, 6 for 125 and a touchdown. Great job on his part. But I think the biggest thing right here for the Raiders, honestly, with the suspension of Marshawn Lynch, you're going to have DeAndre Washington and Jalen Richard rushing the ball now. But throwing the ball 19 times on Amari Cooper, they tried to get Amari involved in this game. They did get him involved in this game, and I think another big piece of that is Jared Cook as well. He had 7 targets as well. You have to get the other pieces involved in this offense to get that offense rolling.
With as good as Michael Crabtree has been, and how consistent he's been this year, look what happens when they force the ball to Cooper and get him that many looks. Their offense blows up. He still had a couple drops in this game, but they're putting him against matchups that he could win consistently instead of just letting him line up on the opposing team's best corner, which you want your best receiver to be able to do that. But is it smart? No, it's freaking stupid. Line him up on their third or fourth best corner consistently, and he's going to win those matchups. And that's good coaching by Jack Del Rio and the whole Oakland Raiders coaching staff, but they should have done that a couple games earlier.
Guys, you bring up how the Raiders offense is finally putting things together in the right way. This Chiefs defense has been scary at times, right? Earlier this year, even going back to last year, they've been one of the creme de la creme of NFL defenses. Who are they now? Because it seems like these last few weeks, just they've fallen apart.
They've been getting torched. They haven't been able to get after the quarterback consistently. And fantasy-wise, they're not scoring return touchdowns like they did last year at an alarming rate. And I don't know if it's going to continue. Tyreek Hill isn't getting as many looks in the return department. And that was one of the major workhorses for returning punts and kicks last year. I think, what do you have, 4 or 5 returns last year total, which is a huge deal. But it's just football. Like some weeks you're going to get beat, and that's what's happening to the Chiefs right now.
Yeah, last point I want to make with that is that they need a de facto number 2 wide receiver to go to. Yes, they have Travis Kelce. Yes, they have Kareem Hunt. They have Tyreek Hill, but who is going to be their number two guy? It was Conley. Conley's hurt. They have Albert Wilson, who at times last year and the year before was doing pretty well. Robinson, a second-year guy, looks like he may be the guy. Who knows? It's tough at this point in time. They got Tyreek Hill, and that's what they're riding with. So, offensive-wise, you got to get the ball to somebody else.
And just to kind of help that Chiefs defense a little bit, Steven Nelson is the cornerback. He's supposed to be returning here soon, so that could help.
Another team that's been struggling on offense lately is the Buffalo Bills, Ooh. And they played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Bills actually win this game 30-27, and now my Tampa Bay Buccaneers go to 2-4, and the Buffalo Bills move to 4-2. Thoughts on that game?
My two biggest takeaways from this game are, number one, Shady McCoy is still alive and well, and all the doubters, like myself, self-admittedly, need to sit down and watch Shady McCoy still do Shady McCoy things. And number two, which all I need to notice, the whole coaching staff needs to notice, and all of Tampa Bay needs to notice, Jameis Winston is not enough to single-handedly win you the game. You need to address the defense immediately.
Yeah, right now they don't have the defense to be getting it done. The Bucs have kind of struggled, or the Bills have struggled a lot of the year to put points on the board, and they really didn't struggle doing that against the Bucs. You know, the Bucs are in a losing streak right now. I think they've lost last two for sure, but the only good news for them taking away from this game is that Jameis Winston looked healthy. A lot of people were worried about that shoulder injury, the AC sprain, to his throwing shoulder, so it is impressive that he came out and kind of put up a decent amount of points against a tough Bills team. And you also had to be happy that O.J. Howard finally kicked it into gear, got it done, scored two touchdowns, almost 100 yards, a couple big splash plays, and that's what the Bucs need right now.
It's promising, but it's nerve-wracking at the same time. It's great. You're absolutely right. I was concerned. I told everyone to stay away from Jameis, Mike Evans, and Doug Martin this week against a very stout Buffalo defense, and their offense looked fantastic. But it's not enough. It's just not enough for them to win games right now, and it needs to be addressed.
On the Bills side of the ball, I suggested that they are struggling at offense, and one of the reasons why are they're hurting at the wide receiver position.
Yep.
Now they go out and get the big free agent signing in Dante Thompson. Four catches on four targets for 107 yards. I use big free agent signing as sarcasm, of course. But is it a – my question is, Zay Jones had 9 targets, only 2 catches. Is Thompson actually that good? Because we saw him on the Bears. He was okay on the Bears. He wasn't great. He wasn't terrible. But he was there and did what he needed to do. Or is there just no other options on this Bills offense?
There's no other options there. I mean, Thompson, to your point, is – you know, I know he's my cousin, so I'm pretty fond of him. But he isn't that good. He really isn't. Zay Jones had a lot of drops. If Zay Jones would have caught even double the amount of balls that he did, he would have continued to get even more looks, even more looks, even more looks. They're still going to have to try to figure things out. This is more, in my opinion, a showing of how bad Tampa Bay's defense is than to who Deonta Thompson is.
Yeah, I don't think Thompson's that good. But if the Bills can run the football like they did in this game, I think Tanner Gentry can be a number one wide receiver for the Bills, and pretty much anyone. They ran the football 173 yards. Well, yeah, but I'm saying you could throw Tanner Gentry out there, and he'd be tearing it up for them as well. So throw any Bears player. As long as they're running the football like this, they'll be fine. But Zay Jones, huge disappointment. He should be the number one guy right now. They spent a second-round pick on him, getting those targets, and just not catching the football.
It was funny while we were at the bar for Spencer's birthday party, they go, I think it was Pat at the time, he was with us, and he goes, Logan Thomas, he just scored a touchdown. Isn't he a quarterback? And I started laughing. I'm like, yes, he used to be a quarterback, and he transitioned to a tight end, and he like just looked at me. I'm like, and he's also from Virginia Tech, and he got drafted by the Cardinals, and he played for this team. And then he kind of just shut up and was pretty quiet after that. But it's pretty shocking that Logan Thomas is actually putting up some a catch with a touchdown. So you have Nick O'Leary, you have Logan Thomas, no Charles Clay there, of course. Any of those guys you're looking at fantasy purposes, if there's anybody on bye at all?
Nope.
Nope. Not in a million years.
I just wanted to clear that up for anybody that was actually thinking about that.
Yeah, so. Don't let Tampa Bay's god-awful defense on the road against a Bills team trick you into thinking that the Bills offense is something special.
Yeah, Tampa is now 0-3 on the road. Not very good, but if you're coming to Tampa Bay, better look out. So next up, we have another team here that has quite struggled on offense, but they have now won a game. Chicago Bears versus the Panthers. Bears win 17-3.
I'm going to take this over here because I'm irritated. I'm happy. How?
You don't know what to feel.
Why? I don't. I really don't. Why the hell did the Chicago Bears just beat the Panthers 17-3? Why have they won back-to-back games? Why have they? Let me drop something on you here. Mitchell Trubisky threw four completions.
He did.
Last week. He's thrown 12 completions in his last two games combined.
That's good.
And he has two wins. Yeah. This doesn't make any sense.
They asked him during one of the plays. They said, you dropped back. You could have easily thrown the ball away. What were you thinking when you took that sack? And he goes, well, if I took the sack, the clock kept running. So that's all they wanted to do was just keep the clock going. If I would have thrown it away, the clock would have stopped.
Here's my issue with it, and it's been talked a lot about here in Chicago radio, media, all that stuff. The Chicago Bears now going back, they have not allowed, They have not allowed an offensive touchdown in 9 quarters. That is fantastic. That is all good and well. But Mitchell Trubisky was not brought in here to be the next Rex Grossman, to be the next Cade McNown. He wasn't brought in here for that. If you decide, hey, you know what? Mike Glennon needs to sit on the bench so we can see what we have in our rookie. That's fine. Give him the opportunities to make the mistakes, to prove himself. Give him the 12 fucking completions in 2 games is an embarrassment. How messed up is it as me as a Bears fan, after 2 consecutive wins, has to be mad at how my team is handling things? Because they're not doing themselves any favors. They're pushing themselves further back in the draft and not proving anything of what they have on the offensive side of the ball. And people will say, well, you know, he's only got X. You know who the top receivers are on the team? Tariq Cohen, Zach Miller, and then I believe Kendall Wright is the third leading receiver on the team. Who's their number one? Well, you know, he only has them to throw to. Then don't fucking start him. Leave big ass neck Mike fucking Glennon in there to get murdered and lose and draft one of the top offensive linemen in the draft. Draft one of the top wide receiver prospects. It doesn't make sense what they're doing. I don't even know what John Fox does anymore. I don't know why he's there. Vic Fangio is fucking doing awesome things on the defensive side of the ball.
Great job.
Offensive side of the ball, they got the offensive coordinator who is just trying to keep freaking Trubisky alive. John Fox is going into the final year of his contract next year. They're not going to extend him. He doesn't care. He doesn't care at all. He says, well, you know what? If you're John Fox, he's what, 74 years old? I don't know how old he is, but he's older. This roster blows dick. No offensive weapons whatsoever outside of Tariq Cohen and Jordan Howard. What does he have to lose? He's not going to get an extension. It's just, ugh. It drives me crazy.
I like watching Eddie Jackson on the defensive side of the ball. Flying around.
The steal, and I don't say this because I'm a Bears fan, that is the steal of this draft. He was probably a first-round caliber DB.
Yeah.
I know it was a very deep DB class, so he probably maybe even would have been pushed to the second.
Yeah, well, he was also hurt too, so that's what
I'm saying. He broke his leg, so he was pushed back much further, but they got a big steal there.
Do you know what Mitchell Trubisky's QBR rating was?
36.
5.6. That's awesome.
Hey, he got the win.
Yeah, on the other side of the ball, Cam Newton, 2 interceptions. He just didn't look normal. I think that defense rattled him. And Trevathan, dude, that guy is legit. When he's on the field, he's a big difference maker.
Cam Newton, I defended him all of last year after all the illegal hits and all that stuff. Cam Newton is the biggest fucking baby in the NFL. He is the biggest pouter. He whines, complains, and he just pouts when things aren't going his way. This game is living proof of that. On top of that, he then didn't even have the freaking balls to go and stand in front of the media. You want to know why? Because the chick that he insulted to her face was back after her suspension for dropping racial slurs on Twitter. That's how fucked up this NFL is. It's ridiculous. Cam Newton is a baby, and I hope he gets wrecked for the rest of the season.
Anything else, Tom?
Nope.
Next game.
Sorry, Tom.
Barn burner here. Tennessee Titans win a close one against the Cleveland Browns, 12-9 in overtime, and DeShone Kizer is the starter and then benched again.
For the second straight week, we've seen a Tennessee Titans team with a quarterback who's hobbled, and he really doesn't look like himself. Marcus Mariota does not look like the same quarterback that we've been known to see, and that offense is struggling right now. His mobility is what makes this offense roll, what makes that exotic smash mouth roll, and what makes it so dangerous. Big props to the Cleveland Browns, though. That defense, they were looking good. They were getting after the quarterback, shutting down the run game for the Titans. Titans had 34 carries in this game, only got 80 yards. That is not what you want as a Titans fan. You want to be able to run the football, especially against a team like the Cleveland Browns. But big-time props to them. Just ugly performance for the Titans. Don't think they're ready to compete right now.
Ugly performance by both teams. Listen, a 12-9 game, there's not a whole lot to, you know, outside of what Tom said. Biggest takeaway for me, Joe Thomas' streak ends. He ends up tearing his tricep. He's done for the year. 10,363 plays in a row. Pretty damn impressive, in my opinion. My two biggest takeaways after this game was Hugh Jackson is 100% going to be fired because he's playing QB roulette. Now, after DeShone Kizer here on Friday, he was seen out at the bar, and now everyone hates him. That's why he ended up being benched. And they're saying that they still don't know who's going to start this week. So, Hugh Jackson, you're a joke. If you want to stay hired, maybe just pick a quarterback and run with it. And then Marcus Mariota, is he going to be the actual, you know, long-term decision in Tennessee?
Delanie Walker banged up in this game. Jonas Smith, tight end, was drafted this year. Is he worth an add if you are a Delanie Walker owner, possibly?
Yeah, tight end's so ugly right now. It's a really horrendous position in all types of fantasy football. O.J. Howard's ranked 8th as a tight end.
It's crazy.
Because of 1 week, and it's week 7, or it's going to be, week 8. Yep. So absolutely insane that we're halfway through the year, and just because a guy has one big week, he's a top 10 option at the position. Absolutely nuts. So, yeah, if you're hurting, Jonas Smith's the guy.
Unless you're a Gronk or Kelce owner, then you're going to Hugh Jackson it up and just roulette a tight end pretty much every week.
Next up, we have one of Josh's 3-team parlays that he did this week. My dad's in Vegas this week, and I told him 3 matchups to go with. I did the Saints -5. I did the Vikings -4.5, and the Cardinals and whoever they're playing in the under. And they all hit.
Cardinals and Rams.
So not bad. Saints, though, they win this game 26-17. And the great Brett Hundley is now under center for the mediocre Aaron Rodgers. He's out. They benched him, of course. And then Aaron Jones, we saw him come out, 17 carries, 131 and a touchdown. I think it's safe to say, guys, they have a guy that looks like that he could be the legit running back for this team.
A couple things I took out of this game. Well, Drew Brees threw his 500th touchdown pass, so props to Drew Brees. Biggest question to you, I'll pose this before I go into more of my rant here. Aaron Jones or Mark Ingram for the rest of the season? Who do you like more?
Mark Ingram.
Yeah, Mark Ingram for me too.
Okay, fair enough.
Especially PPR leagues, definitely.
Interesting. So the Saints now are, there were 3 teams shut out this weekend. The Saints now hold the longest streak since being last shut out. They haven't been shut out since 2001. So we'll talk about some of those other teams here later on. And the biggest fantasy value, in my opinion, Davante Adams has been drawing number one corner over
Jordy
Nelson. He had Xavier Rhodes and Marshon Lattimore over his last 2 weeks. So, in your guys' opinion, Would you rather have Jordy Nelson or Davante Adams?
It's a double-edged sword because Jordy Nelson's been getting double-teamed. He's getting the number two corner and a safety's been over the top, so he's getting bracketed. But without Aaron Rodgers, I really don't feel comfortable either having them in your lineup unless they're your wide receiver three. Yeah, they have a chance to get that touchdown, but it's going to be ugly with Hundley at quarterback.
I'd rather have Ted Ginn Jr. starting on my team right now over those two guys.
Hey!
And we all know that I hate Ted Ginn Jr., but if I had to choose a Packers wide receiver, actually out of those guys, give me Randall Cobb. I said that last week as well, Brett Hundley. Yeah, the only reason why is we talked about it, and with Randall Cobb, he's going to be the guy that's going to be the safety blanket. He's going to be the underneath guy. He's going to be the short route guy. You're not going to see Brett Hundley throwing the ball 60 yards down the field and making completions because he doesn't do that. So Randall Cobb would be the wide receiver that I would look for in that offense. But if I could look elsewhere on other teams, then by all means I would, fantasy-wise.
Fair enough.
And for me, if you're a Saints fan, you got to be happy with this performance. Yeah, it's against Brent Hundley. You're at Lambeau. It's a tough place to play. They're normally inside the dome, but the Saints went on the road. They won a game. They started off behind, but the second half they played pretty good defense. They were able to run the football, Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara. It's a great 1-2 punch at the running back spot, something that the Saints really have missed, two guys that are that consistent, and you kind of know what you're going to get week in and week out. Drew Brees didn't have his greatest game, and they're still able to put up a good amount of points. This is going to be a scary team if they can continue to play like this and remain healthy. Right now, the NFC is wide open, and I think they're one of the most serious contenders.
I agree.
Next up, we have the Saxonville Jaguars versus Tom's Indianapolis Colts. Tom,
yep.
I'm sorry. This had to be a rough game to sit through.
It sucked. Really, there isn't much to say about this game besides that the Jaguars destroyed the Colts, and that was without one Leonard Fournette. You know, the Colts defense made T.J. Yeldon look like Fournette out there, made Blake Bortles look like Aaron Rodgers. Y.A. Tittle could come out of the grave and probably drop 350 on the Colts right now. That's the type of defense they're playing. All the first half big plays in the passing game, they came when the Colts decided to bring Malik Hooker, the free safety they drafted, to play center field and stop the deep pass into the box and put Mathias Farley, who's a box safety, into coverage, playing deep. Absolutely ridiculous coaching. Now Malik Hooker's hurt. Just
on IR now, right?
Yeah. There's just so many
ACL and MCL.
Many bad decisions by this coaching staff. At the end of the game, it was 4th and 2. The Colts called a timeout, and they ran a quarterback sneak. Like, what the fuck are you doing? And then Pagano came out and said, well, we didn't have the right play call. We couldn't figure it out. You called a timeout, and you couldn't get it done. It's ridiculous. The only bright spot for me is Marlon Mack continues to make big plays. He had a catch over 20 yards, a couple big runs, out-snapped Frank Gore. So that's the only bright spot for me. John Simon is going to be out. So the Bengals are going to – it's going to be so bad this week.
You know I
top am, five pick, though. I'm happy.
You know that I'm mad when I start MFing people. You know Tom's mad when he drops a Y.A. Tittle reference. But back to this game. You already mentioned Hooker's torn ACL and MCL. Everyone is calling for Pagano's head. There were a lot of rumors that it was going to happen immediately following the game. That is now kind of calmed down. They're saying he's getting at least another week. Colts defense, Tom, is on pace to be one of the worst in history of the NFL. They're on pace right now to give up 6,807 yards. The record is 7,042 by the 2012 Saints. And the Indianapolis Colts were shut out. Tom, you witnessed history, sir.
Yep.
They were shut out for the first time since 1993, when I was a whopping 5 years old.
Worst sporting event I've ever been to. I've been to a lot.
I saw that score. How I just laughed when I looked at my phone and saw that score is the same way I laughed then. I'm like, poor Tom. Poor little bastard.
Yeah, that I can only imagine.
That had to be awful. There would not have been enough beer in the stadium.
I couldn't even get drunk because I was driving.
Well, that's awful.
Otherwise, I would have got Tommy.
Make that bitch drive.
Another goose egg left up on the board. Cardinals lose this game to the Rams 0-33, And Cardinals quarterback Carson Palmer suffers a broken, it was non-throwing, right? His non-throwing arm?
Yeah, his left arm.
His left arm, and he's going to be out for the foreseeable future. Looks like they said 4 to 8 weeks, leaning more towards the back end of that.
Listen, this is the nail in the coffin. You could kind of tell from Bruce Arians' attitude from the start of the season that if things didn't go perfect, they were going to go bad real quick. And that's exactly, listen, DJ goes out, and now Carson Palmer, the season's over. Everyone loses value. I would be shocked if the Cardinals win 3 more games the whole entire year, in all honesty. My biggest takeaways from the game, the Rams now will finish with a over 500 record for the longest time into the season since 2004. So big for them that they're actually making strides. And the London games, because this game took place in London. Did you know that the London score per game on average is 32-2 on average? And this week we get the Vikings versus the Browns. So I don't see that average getting much better.
It could theoretically be 32-2.
Yeah.
I would be surprised.
Not good.
For me, right now, you know, AP, if you are someone that fell into that trap and you're a believer in him, the Palmer injury might be good for you, because now the Cardinals might have to give him the football 25 to 30 times until the wheels fall off. I would be kind of shocked if David Johnson, if they bring him back, the season's lost, if they bring him back with Drew Stanton. I guess they can do that, but risk injury and risk the future would be extremely dumb. And for me, the loss of Palmer moves Larry Fitz to a wide receiver 3 at best.
Yep.
The other pass catchers, almost unstartable. Rams, Gurley, look good again. Goff, Kupp, big game for the Rams. I feel like they're real this year.
I feel like even that Fitzgerald mentioned that you did say, I feel even if that, right? You look at it, most of the time when he was on the field, I don't have the snap count in front of me, but I would have to take a look, but a good handful of plays. But when he was out there, a lot of times he was in motion or he was lined up close to the tight end and he was blocking every single play. He only had 3 targets, and that is what he's going to be doing from here on out. Drew Stanton is a terrible quarterback. Yep. How he is your backup for Carson Palmer blows my mind. I don't know. You got my knife out, bro. So that's just what I'm saying. Fitzgerald, as much as I like him, I have him on my fantasy team. He may be a wide receiver 4 in my book right now because of the fact that he's going to be blocking a lot. So I would probably move up J.J. Nelson a little bit, or maybe even a Jerron Brown. Not John Brown, but that's just where I would have that at.
Too much of a crapshoot for any of those guys, in all honesty.
On the other side of the ball, Todd Gurley, big game, 106 and a tutty. And then Jared Goff, that run that he had was pretty impressive.
Yep.
And Cooper Kupp, another touchdown, 4 for 51 and a tutty.
This is what good coaching can do to a team. Just this team's completely different. Yeah, they've added a lot of young talent, but really didn't improve that defense too much. But now they got the Wade Phillips. This defense finally playing really good. They got a good scheme on the offensive side of the football. Sean McVay's doing a good job motivating these guys. He's still telling them they suck and haven't done shit, which is exactly what they need to be saying to them going into a bye week. But all the arrows are pointing up for this team.
How crazy to think, you know, everyone thought last year, you know, obviously Wentz got off to a hot start, but Goff and Wentz, 2 top picks now, looking like they're worth every single penny.
Still early, though.
It is.
Yeah, I think Wentz has not as many weapons as offensive weapons as Goff does. Look what the Rams did. They went out, they drafted a lot of talent. They brought in some guys. They brought in Sammy Watkins via trade. They brought in Robert Woods via free agency. They drafted Gerald Everett. They drafted Farrell Cooper last year. They drafted Cooper Kupp this year. They drafted another wide receiver this year. Drafted a tight end last year.
They brought in like 8 guys.
Yeah, I'm just saying. They brought in a ton of people to be weapons.
I think both teams did a good job to be weapons. I think you're highly underestimating what the Eagles brought in for Carson Wentz.
I think the Eagles have a better wide receiving core, a better tight end. The only thing Goff, in my opinion, has better is a running back core.
Alshon Jeffrey's stats aren't there, but he has done a ton for that wide receiving core.
I don't know.
Fact.
All right, moving on. We have the Jets losing to the Miami Dolphins. Dolphins win this game.
Dolphins!
31-28. Jay Cutler suffers two broken ribs. And Jay Ajayi not looking like Jay Ajayi from last year still.
This was a matchup of two AFC East powerhouses. It didn't disappoint. Well, neither of these teams are really powerhouses, but they're both playing decent football right now. Jets started off hot again this week. Josh McCown, four touchdowns. Again, it's kind of nuts what he's been doing with this lackluster supporting cast, but he's getting the job done. You brought up Jay Cutler with the ribs. I hope he's done for the year. Because Matt Moore, when he came in, started off a little rough, but ended up scoring 17 unanswered points in the fourth quarter, led the Dolphins to victory. Jarvis Landry looked good. Kenny Stills looked good. And every time Matt Moore's in the lineup, Kenny Stills scores. It's like four or five straight games.
I'm not saying that Jay Cutler needs to come back for this offense to do anything, but I don't think Matt Moore looked good at all. I mean, he had a couple big plays to Kenny Stills, like you said, but I do not think he's the answer. And beyond that, they had to bring in a backup, David Fales, to come in because on Thursday night, Cutler's still not going to be ready. God forbid Matt Moore gets hurt, or that game will get out of control quickly. My question for you guys, obviously the AFC East is the best division in football right now. Three teams over 500 battling out. But for fantasy purposes, for the rest of the year, Bilal Powell or Jay Ajayi?
Ugh. I'd rather have neither in all honesty, but I'd probably go with Ajayi.
Jay Ajayi for me.
Fair enough.
Big props to Adam Gase, though. He continues to make good second-half adjustments. His team continues to be down early in the game. In the second half, they come back and win. They beat the Falcons at Atlanta a couple weeks ago, came back, beat the Jets in this game. He's doing a good job as a coach and making those adjustments.
Austin Seferian Jenkins, another touchdown.
Yep. He's the number one tight end right now.
Yep. Moving on, we have the Ravens versus the Vikings. And the Vikings win this game 24-16. Vikings are now 5-2.
I mean, what do you say about this game? It's pretty dirty. Mike Wallace now in the concussion protocol for the Baltimore Ravens. Guys, who has the worst wide receiver core? The Baltimore Ravens or the Chicago Bears?
It's pretty damn close. If Mike Wallace is playing, Jeremy Maclin are playing, definitely the Bears. But when they're rolling out Michael Campanaro and Griff Whalen as their like top two guys right now,
and that's what it's been.
The Ravens are right there with them.
Yeah, it's been rough. The other question I have for fantasy purposes, two guys that are hot and cold and hot and cold, and you love to hate both of them for the rest of the year if you had to pick one, Buck Allen or Layabouts Murray?
I'd take Buck Allen.
Really?
I think his,
that surprises me.
I think his floor is higher. You know, he's going to probably get at least three to four catches a game, and in PPR you could reliably start him with Layabouts Murray. If he got five touches next week, it wouldn't surprise me. And if Jerick McKinnon out-touches him the rest of the year, it wouldn't surprise me one bit.
Yeah, with Layabouts Murray getting 18 carries, 413 yards and a touchdown, was very shocking when I saw the stat line. I thought that was a mistake. I thought that they screwed up, and I thought that was supposed to be the stat line for McKinnon. But looking at it, you know, I didn't watch much of that game. I saw, like,
no one did.
The very end of it. But with Latavius Murray, who knows? Maybe he's finally getting over his injury, and we'll kind of see where he goes from there. But I always thought, last couple weeks at least, Jerick McKinnon looked pretty electric out there. It looked like they gave him an extra little spark on that Vikings offense. So kind of interesting to see how they did that in this game and how they'll go from here, if they'll use him in the passing game more like they did the last couple of weeks.
The Vikings just had a healthy Sam Bradford, and that offense looked like it did week one. This team would be very scary. That defense is playing how it was playing at the beginning of last year when they were, I believe, 6-0 before all the wheels fell off.
The Vikings the favorite now, or you give the Lions a shot?
I think the Vikings are the favorite, even with the great Case Keenum.
What do you guys think about Teddy Bridgewater? You think he's coming back at all in the next couple of weeks? If he does come back and he is practicing decently, how soon do we see him back on the field?
I told you guys numerous times this offseason that I thought Teddy Bridgewater would play. So I'm going to say Teddy Bridgewater is ready by week 10.
I agree with Tim.
All right. Moving on, Cowboys destroy the 49ers 40-10, and the 49ers now 0-7, and the Cowboys are 3-3.
The new Dallas triplets completely dominated this game. Dak and Zeke mainly were the culprits, but Dez Bryant found the end zone as well. But Ezekiel Elliott played his best game of the year. He was dominant in the run game. He had an amazing, like, 70-plus yard receiving touchdown. Did a hell of a job pass blocking as well. Just an overall great game for him. Finally, it looks like he's pushing all this legal shit behind him. But it was good for the Dallas Cowboys overall. We saw a lot of their defenders, the playmakers that they have on the defensive side of the football, make plays. DeMarcus Lawrence and Jalen Smith, which it's great to see him out there and playing like he is. But both of them had big-time strip sacks, and both of them at key parts of the game where they kept points off the board for the 49ers. C.J. Beathard didn't look much better than Brian Hoyer, so he's probably not the answer. Just get ready for Kirk Cousins to be on this team and the 49ers to draft Saquon Barkley, number two. Overall,
Do you guys think that this is a good stepping stone for the Cowboys defense, or is the 49ers offense just that bad?
They're bad.
That's what I thought as well. And you forgot to mention the greatest part of that offensive performance by the Dallas Cowboys. I'm talking about the Cowboys kicker going down and safety Jeff Heath coming in and kicking an extra point. Fantastic. Really the only part of that game that I cared about.
Did he, how many extra points? Two, three?
Just one, I thought.
Just one?
I thought he missed a couple, too.
Did he? Yeah. Oh, he may have. I just saw the one he made.
Yeah, I know he made one. I think it bounced off the upright. No, he made two and missed one. Nice. I think the first one he kicked, it bounced off the upright and came off, and then he made the other two. So.
I believe they just signed Mike Nugent Tuesday.
Ted Nugent's son.
Yep. Very interesting. But it is always fun, Ted like Nugent's you, son. Very fun to see, like you said, a position player not
absolutely. It's like in baseball when the backup catcher gets to pitch when you're down by 20. You know, I like that shit.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Next up, we have the Seahawks beating the New York Giants 24-7, and the Giants move to 1-6, and the Seahawks 4-2.
The Giants are bad.
Yeah. It was an ugly game overall in my eyes, especially the first half. You had Doug Baldwin like trying to throw down with Tom Cable, and everyone was pushing each other on the sidelines for the Seahawks. It was kind of ugly for them, but then you saw Russell Wilson do what he's supposed to do. He picked that team up, put him on his back, and was able to move the football consistently against a pretty good New York Giants team or defense overall. But his mobility was the difference maker in this game. Giants, it's ugly. Eli Manning is on pace to have like 3,600 passing yards, which would be extremely low compared to his career stats. And right now, the only bright spot for that Giants offense is Evan Ingram, in my eyes. And he had would have been like a 70-yard touchdown callback because he got pushed out of bounds.
A much-needed bye for the Giants coming up. I have one stat. And two questions for you guys in regards to this game. Russell Wilson improves to 7-1 versus the Manning brothers and Tom Brady combined. Thought that was a pretty interesting stat. And number one, does Eli Manning get benched this year for Davis Webb? Not for injury, but just because the Giants want to see what Davis Webb has and they realize that, you know, the season's lost.
It won't happen.
As much as fans want it to happen because they want to see what they have in the rookie, and as much as some of the higher-ups want it to happen, it will not happen. It's Eli Manning. They won't treat him like that. He's not like Jay Cutler where they just treat him like trash.
Because he is trash.
Yeah, they'll just deal with it. So.
All right, and for the rest of the year, if you had to, you're both going to throw up in your mouth when I say these two names. If you had to start one, for the rest of the year, Thomas Rawls or Orleans Darkwa?
Darkwa.
Darkwa.
All right. That's all I got. All
right. Moving on. Next game, Cincinnati Bengals lose on the road 14-29 to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh Steelers are now 5-2, and the Bengals are now 2-4.
The Steelers are going back to the game plan and the game style that led them to the AFC Championship game last year. Pretty much run Le'Veon Bell into the ground until his wheels fall off. That's what's happening right now. Le'Veon Bell is the most valuable Steeler right now, especially on the offensive side of the football. 38 total touches for Le'Veon Bell in this game. Kind of unheard of in the modern-day NFL. You don't see it happen that often, but someone of his caliber and his ability, they should be doing that for. This game, it was a good game to start off. We saw both teams kind of keep it close in the first half. The Bengals, again, started Jeremy Hill. He got the first few carries, and Joe Mixon took over after that. And the two touchdowns they had in the first half, Joe Mixon was a big part of both of them. Had two big chunk plays on both of those drives. And then in the second half, they decided to give Joe Mixon zero carries. He had two catches, but it's kind of unreal. Another showcase of terrible coaching. Bill Lazor's done a decent job getting Mixon.
Bill
more.
Lazor.
He's doing a good job getting Mixon carries, but
every time you think of Bill Lazor, is that what you guys think? Bill Lazor.
When I think of the name Bill Lazor, every time I hear his name, I think, you know what? If I ever become a stripper, that's going to be my dancing name.
It's a badass name.
Bill Lazor? Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Bill Lazor.
And when I was watching the game on TV, they're like, Bill Lazor. And I was like mid-sleep. I'm like, Bill Lazor. And I just can't help myself. Yeah, but To add on to that, Tom, they gave, I believe, Jeremy Hill the first two carries of the game.
Yep.
And then at the half, when he came back out, first two carries of the half. It makes no freaking sense.
It's obvious who the better running back is. I think even the novice football fan can tell you who's the better running back, who gives them the best option. They need to look at what the Steelers do with Bell and do that with Mixon, because they'll have a better chance to win football games.
So, a couple things. One, you mentioned that the Steelers are going to their old-school plan of just feeding Bell the ball. They're going to their old-school plan of a two-pronged attack. Hand the ball off to Bell and just force the ball to Antonio Brown at all costs. Mm-hmm. It's to a point where I don't even blame Martavis Bryant anymore. If you look at just YouTube, worst force passes to Antonio Brown, and it's, like, obnoxious. There's plays where he's 5 yards out of bounds, and Roethlisberger is throwing the ball to him downfield, hoping he's going to get back in bounds. And it's working. It's working. Biggest things from this, takeaways from this game, beyond that, is you mentioned it. Mixon is unhappy. He made comments after the game saying how he sees what Le'Veon Bell's getting. Marvin Lewis came back at him saying, hey, he was in there. To your point, he had 7 rushes in the first half for, I believe, roughly 40-plus yards. He was
49.
A big part of their first two touchdowns. 0 attempts in the second half, and he had 2 receptions. Not enough. Nope. Not enough for a guy that's doing it. And doesn't help when Marvin Lewis comes out and says he needs to be mature and realize it's in a team atmosphere. I have told you guys from the start of this season that Marvin Lewis will not be the football coach of the Cincinnati Bengals to end this season. I stand by that. And this is the exact reason why.
Yeah, he had 3 catches, and one of the catches turned out to be where he fumbled the ball. He didn't lose the fumble, but he did fumble the ball. But if he's not the coach next year, then by all means, if you're in a dynasty keeper league, should be looking for Joe Mixon, because they're going to use him and use him a lot.
Absolutely. So. The other guy, obviously, Martavis Bryant, still pissed. No shows, a mandatory team meeting today. Has words on Twitter. Not good. And how we have to mention, Vontaze Burfict up kicks Roosevelt Nix right in the head, and no suspension. I also read a thing today. I don't know how true it is. I don't want to say it as facts, but he has roughly been fined 10% of his total NFL earnings with all the dumb shit that he's done in the NFL.
Well, he was standing on top of him, not letting him get up.
So dumb.
Have to kick somebody to move him. So
that was like, you guys know I'm an MMA guy. That was like a jiu-jitsu, like, oh, the guy won't get off me. Up kick to the face. Yeah.
Now, I like Burfict as a player, not being dirty. Like,
if I like him as a man.
If he's not doing all the dirty stuff, then I like him even more as a player.
Stupid.
But that Burfict being on the field, he is the guy that really drives that
he's
defense.
He's been in the league for 7 years. 10% of his money has gone to fines. He's a dirty player.
It's good for football. He's a leader.
It's good for football. This isn't the XFL, Thomas.
I like it.
Let's move on. Next game, the Broncos put up a goose egg going to the Chargers. 0-21. Chargers win this one. Rivers, 2 touchdowns. But the story of this one, in my opinion, Denver Broncos hold Melvin Gordon to under 40 yards rushing on 18 carries.
Yeah, if you looked at that stat line after the game, didn't see the score, you would have thought they would have lost this game. But right now, the Chargers are playing some good football. First 4 weeks, it was pretty miserable for the new Los Angeles Chargers. The opponents were getting more fans in their own stadium. You're getting Let's Go Eagles chants at Chargers home games. But right now, they're finding ways to win football games. And something we haven't seen from the Chargers in a very long time. It's good to see Pip Rivers, you know, him in his bolo tie. He's looking good out there with his 14 kids surrounding him after the game in his press conference. This is good for football. It's good for L.A. And it's good right now. Joey Bosa, he's created havoc in this game. All the pass rushers, that Denver line does not look fixed. I thought it was. After the first three games of the year, they were able to move the football, run the football, and CJ Anderson's laying a bunch of turds all over the NFL right now.
Tom, you mentioned all that stuff. The Chargers are getting that fuck you swag, mm-hmm. is what they're getting. Put us on a soccer pitch in front of 10,000 people and 8,000 of them are for the other team. That's fine. You know what? You know what the Chargers went out there and did? The Chargers went out there and shut out the Denver Broncos for the first time since 1992. That's the last time the Broncos were shut out. Pretty absurd stat. On top of that, Joey Bosa, who you mentioned, and Melvin Ingram combined have 17 sacks. That's more than 20 other NFL teams. And they are tied with the New Orleans Saints. That's absurd. The Chargers had a couple of very close losses early in the season. At 3-4, they have to be pretty freaking excited, if you ask me. They're finally starting to come into their own. Everything's coming back together. Mike Williams is back. It doesn't even matter that Melvin Gordon struggled against the Broncos' tough defense. They're for real.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And it's going to be very interesting to see where the Chargers go from there. Everybody's getting healthier. Phillip Rivers playing a little bit better. Not making his terrible passes as he has been the last couple weeks. And just think about it, right? They're 3-4. Some of those close games, if that would have gone the other way, we could be talking about how they'd be 4-3 or maybe even 5-2 right now.
They could easily be 5-2.
Yep.
Easily.
Got to blame Young Hoku.
Yep. Don't say it.
Well, I don't
want to
blame the kicker. So
it's his fault.
I know, but still. Moving on, we have the Atlanta Falcons going to the New England Patriots. Patriots win this game 23-7. Thoughts?
I'm normally a fan of pettiness and like going over the top with being petty, but the Patriots took it to a whole nother level, and they are officially the pettiest team in the NFL. Pre-game, they had their clock set at 28:03.
It's awesome.
The pettiest Sunday. You won? The other team is struggling mightily. You're at home, and you still set it to 28-03. By far, the pettiest team in the NFL. And I want to say to both of you, listen, I pride myself on being able to say, I told you so. But I also pride myself in being able to say, you know what? I was wrong, and you were right. I said that the Falcons would be fine, that Matt Ryan would step up, and it didn't matter what Steve Sarkisian was going to do. You both were 100% right. Steve Sarkisian is ruining this once prolific offense. I don't know if it's just against the AFC East because the Falcons are 3-0 against the rest of the league and 0-3 against the AFC East, but they just look bad. They look off. They're not getting any other running game together. Julio Jones is abysmal at this point in fantasy value. It's not good.
I think the biggest story of this game is that the New England Patriots brought in 10,000 smoke machines and caused a fog bowl to try to slow down the explosive Atlanta Falcons offense.
I
read
true.
That like people were like really talking that the Patriots caused the fog to come in and got fog machines. Kind of fantastic. So hopefully fog gets rolling.
#Foggy.
And Tom Brady gets suspended again because he was the orchestrator of this, him and Bill Belichick. But yeah, you brought up everything.
Where you at, Roger Weinstein?
Brought everything up with Sarkisian and Shanahan. It's a big-time loss, you know. But the good thing for the Falcons, it's still early enough in the season. They can still be contenders. They have the weapons and the personnel to change it up. But the play calling in this game was horrendous. Fourth and goal play, and they run an end-around. Like, terrible. They were able to run the football with Freeman a lot of that second half, and then they were just give up when it was inside the goal line. I don't get it. Absolutely don't understand it. And the New England Patriots backfield, it's a mess. Deion Lewis, Burkhead, and James White all at over 20 snaps in this game. Gillislee's getting goal line carry, so it's complete clusterfuck.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me either. The Patriots defense is one of the worst in the NFL. Bottom five for sure.
They figured it out, though.
Well, they figured it, but the Falcons did not do a good enough job of mixing up Freeman and Coleman. Coleman was a non-factor.
Let me ask you guys this real quick before we get to the Monday night game. Matt Ryan, who is ranked ahead of who, fantasy-wise? Matt Ryan or Marcus Mariota?
I'll still say Ryan.
I'll go Mariota.
Matt Ryan, before I answer that, I'm just going to ask a couple. Matt Ryan or we'll say Carson Palmer.
Palmer's ahead of him.
Palmer.
Okay. Matt Ryan or Trevor Siemian?
Simeon's
out.
Starting out real hot.
Matt Ryan or Tyrod Taylor?
Tyrod Taylor's out of him.
Tyrod.
Matt Ryan or Josh McCown?
McCown's out of him.
McCown, for sure.
Every single one of those quarterbacks are rated above him. Matt Ryan is number 25 rated quarterback. 25th rated quarterback. Some of the other quarterbacks above him, Ben Roethlisberger, Jacoby Brissett. That was another one. I thought that would have been a good one to ask right there.
That would have been.
Blake Bortles, Matt Stafford. Kind of guess with him, but kind of crazy to think.
You guys are going to – my brother actually, I don't know if you know, is living down in Atlanta now.
Okay.
He's working down there, and he texts me after last week, and he goes, it's so funny. He goes, you think Bears fans are bad? He goes, Atlanta fans got a little taste of success. He goes, everyone last week for like 3 days was like, we're beating the goddamn Dolphins by 17 points. We fucking blew the game. They're all freaking the hell out down there. It's awesome.
Last game of the week, we have the Washington Redskins going to the Philadelphia Eagles. And Carson Wentz, the magic man, and the Eagles, they defeat the Redskins 34-24. Carson Wentz is fantastic, and Zach Ertz is a monster, now moves into number one in my rankings and the rankings for tight ends.
That was officially, I mean, he may have done it before, he's done other things, but that was officially Carson Wentz's coming out party. That was him going, writing in his name, turning in his ballot for his nomination for MVP, and this being an MVP season. I know we've said before, you know, he started out hot last year. This is different. There were numerous plays. I mean, you mentioned, I believe in a previous episode, Josh, but where he was, you know, all but sacked and somehow came out of it and rushed for like 15 yards. There was the play in the red zone where he moved up, moved back, moved around, threw off his back foot, hit his wide receiver in the corner of the end zone. There were just numerous things that he did in this game over and over and over, just proving that he's the guy, that he is an elite quarterback, at least this year in this league. Obviously, the Jason Peters injury came out to be bad. I'm interested to see how
bad ACL and MCL.
And MCL, yeah. They were hoping it was just MCL, but it ended up being both. Interested to see how bad that is for him. But Carson Wentz, he's the real deal.
Yeah, right now I think the Eagles are the best team in the NFC right now. The four touchdowns Wentz added. He's just playing lights out right now. Number two quarterback in most formats. And Zach Ertz is playing himself into that conversation that he's the best damn tight end in the NFL right now. Him and Wentz have that connection. They're getting it done. And he's just playing lights out right now. The Eagles pass rush, very good. Yeah, they gave up a good amount of yards to Kirk Cousins, but they were pressuring him. They were in his face. And they kept the score down long enough to get the win. The Eagles' whole organization, though, has done a very good job rebuilding the last 2 years. 2 years ago, they were a laughingstock. Chip Kelly destroyed this team, destroyed this organization, and look where they're at now.
And it allowed them to get Carson Wentz. So yeah. They should be thanking the man.
Yeah, Nelson Aguilar looked pretty impressive. Yep. Matt Collins, one catch for 64 yards and a touchdown. Man, it was fantastic. Big plays.
I want to say on the other side of the ball, Kirk Cousins joins Joe Namath and Archie Manning for starting out 0-6 on Monday night football games. Kirk Cousins also 0-9 on any weekday games. You can buy Monday and Thursday night games. Wow. Not good.
Kirk Cousins, you like that?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just saying.
You're the Carson Wentz lover throwing shade over here.
But, yeah, so we look at Terrell Pryor. He was benched this game as a starter, right? So his first snap that he came out on the field was in the third quarter. He did not step foot out there. It's starting wide receiver, Josh Doctson. Reports coming out saying that Jay Gruden said, "We drafted him to be the number one wide receiver. It's time to see what he can do." So pretty impressive.
I like that mentality.
Kind of wondering to see how that's gonna go down. But the thing is, with saying that, you only throw the ball to him 5 times. I don't get that though. I feel like he should have had a couple more targets if that was the case, and if that was your mentality, and that's what you were gonna do with Terrell Pryor and Josh Doctson.
I think he did what he had to do. Him being on the field allowed Jordan Reed to be open the way that he was.
Yeah, I guess so. Anything else?
I do have some random tidbits for you.
Go ahead.
And obviously, I just want to put out there, I am not the one who found any of these stats. I looked up online and numerous different sources. So I just want to make sure that that is known. I'm not claiming to have found, did the math on any of these myself. The Los Angeles Rams lead the league in total points at 212. They only had 224 in all of 2016.
Nuts.
Pretty crazy. Texans, we didn't mention. Well, we did mention Dwayne Brown. He ends his holdout. He will be coming back to the Texans coming up here.
And the Texans and the Lions were on by. Yeah.
Yep. So I want to make sure we said that. Do you know what two teams lead the league in point differential this year?
I'm going to go with the Bengals and Saints.
Not even close. You're gonna call me a liar. The Rams and the Jaguars. The Rams are plus 74. The Jaguars are plus 73.
Well, the Jaguars now have two shutouts, right?
Leading the league in point differential. Crazy to think where those two teams were just not too long ago. And this week, 7 NFL teams did not score an offensive touchdown. The most since 2001. Also that year. Seven teams did not score an offensive touchdown.
The shutouts, the Bears.
There's three shutouts. The Bears, there was multiple here. The Bears, the Titans and Browns.
Titans and Browns.
We're missing one, I think. The Ravens. Oh, the Ravens scored a touchdown. I don't know if it was offensive, though. Or the Giants was offensive. Well, it doesn't matter. I'm going to take my word for it. I don't know who the other team was.
Well, I don't.
Find the other. Oh, the Panthers. Panthers only had a field goal. That's 7.
Oh, yeah.
Eat a wiener.
I guess.
How about that?
That makes sense.
There's a lot of ugly football this week.
A lot, but that's pretty crazy. 7 teams.
Yeah?
It's insane.
Not good.
Anything else, guys?
No. Good times.
Tom?
That's it.
All right. Tim's back for this week, so...
I'm not gonna be back. I'm actually not.
It is
back.
What it is.
I'll be gone next week, everyone. Don't worry.
Hope you guys all enjoyed our recap for week 7. Be on the lookout for our long show that we got coming up on WBLZ Sports. So we'll have that
live on Tuesdays, 9 p.m. Central till 11 p.m. Central. Listen up.
And again, we are Pony Keg Sports. Follow us on Twitter at Pony Keg Sports, at Pony Keg Tom, at Pony Keg Tim. Do yourselves a favor. Check out CleatGeeks.com. DraftingSleepers.com, and check out their websites and everything like that. Tweet CleatGeeks at CleatGeeks. Let them know we are the ones that sent you. Also, email us if you guys need anything, PonyKickSports@gmail.com, or check out our website, PonyKickSports.com. And again, get in for that jersey giveaway, and then we'll kind of go from there. So until next time,
peace!